The views presented today are those of Crystal Langdon of Crystal Clear Finances and do not necessarily represent the views of Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC. Have confidence facing financial decisions and learn the steps that are right for you. Join us for the next 30 minutes as certified financial planner Crystal Langdon helps make finances crystal clear.
Welcome to Crystal Clear Finances. My name is Crystal Langdon, and I'm going to be your host for the next 30 minutes as we provide financial clarity so that you can have confidence for every financial decision. Well, today we're going to do part two on talking about the stock market. We had such a great response last week in regards to, oh, Crystal, thank you. I finally understand how the stock market works. You know, so many times it's over-glorified. We have big fancy words to describe it. And yes, I do admit that there is a Securities and Exchange Commission that is watching over things. Yes, there is government regulation. And yes, there are a lot of details to it. But when you break it all down, when we begin to talk about it, it becomes common sense. The New York Stock Exchange, which was originally formed by 24 men sitting under a buttonwood tree who came up with the buttonwood agreement and said, you know what, let's just agree that all of us will charge the same amount of commission or the same amount of fees to all of our clients, and let's just do business with each other. So people will have to come to us if they want to buy and sell things, and then we'll do the buying and selling amongst ourselves. And so that's how the New York Stock Exchange started, right underneath the buttonwood tree. And then over time, we see that in 1863, they said, you know what? The Buttonwood Agreement probably is not the most official name we want. And this is actually taking off. More and more people are joining our group. In fact, we're going to have to stop letting so many people be part of this group because it's really taking off. I think we got something here. So let's become the New York Stock and Exchange Group. And as that began to grow, they moved from under the Buttonwood Tree. They moved onto 11 Wall Street. Now they have the fancy building. So everything progressed over time. And in the beginning, it was just those men. Over the course of time, the Securities and Exchange Commission got involved. They saw some sales, some things that were happening that was not in the public's best interest, some promises that were being made in regards to certain stocks, certain things that were being sold. And they said, you're going to have to create literature. You're going to have rules and guidelines that you guys live by. And so the government came in, like the government does, and set things up. And in this case, as I mentioned last week, I do think they did some positive reinforcements to say, guys, you can't overpromise. You can't just pull promises out of the sky and sell it to people and then not have consequences. You need to have a book. It's called a prospectus. And many, in fact, every one of you should be receiving a prospectus if you're an investor, because the prospectus is this small 5x7 size booklet, very boring, that literally is saying, hey, here's the fees we're charging you. Here's your investment professionals. Here's the rules that we're going to abide by. Oh, and by the way, here's what happens to be in the portfolio we're managing. Now, of course, they go through the whole process of putting that together. How accurate it is as far as what's in the portfolio by the time you reach it reaches your hand, that, my friends, is a totally different conversation. But the prospectus is required. And even today, when we're meeting with new clients, we can show them online. Okay, here's this. We can download it for them. They get sent to them. People will come into my office all the time and say, Crystal, I keep getting these little books in the mail. What are they? Well, the little books in the mail is because they have to send an annual report out to clients showing this is everything we're holding. And again, by the time they receive it, it's already changed in regards to what was held in that account. But it was one of the regulations to try to cut down on that overpromising, to put some regulation into it. And last week, we talked about that. We talked about the whole stock market. I want to build on that, because we really use the comparison of a garage sale. And that at a garage sale, there is something that you want to get rid of, and there is someone, hopefully, who is coming who wants to buy what you have. And the New York Stock Exchange is not the actual product that you're buying or selling. It is the place where it's taking place. So when I think of the garage sale and someone's coming to buy this vase that I have at the garage sale that I have priced for $10, it is not the vase that is the exchange. It is the driveway that I'm having my garage sale on that is the exchange. Well, the same thing happens when you're buying and selling stocks and all kinds of investments at the New York Stock Exchange. It is the place where it is happening. So whether I am sitting in my office and putting in a trade request from my desk up here in New York, upstate New York, or whether I am down on the floor there where I went to it, which you can't do, but pretend if I was, no matter where I'm at, that's where the actual exchange is going to happen. Now, I have been privileged, and it was very exciting to be able to ring the bell at the New York Stock Exchange. So that was exciting. I was on the platform, so I know I did not actually hold the gavel when it swung down. I was three people away, and it was such a great time. We work with a company called Inspire that does Christian values-based investing. They were launching one of their investments, and so they had invited me to participate, so we got to stay up in that high area. And you know what is so cool? Let me just tell you this. I don't know if you're aware, but when you go and climb the stairs to ring the bell at the New York Stock Exchange, it was a closing bell. On the wall leading up there, they have the people that have rung the bell in the past. They have them sign on the wall, which is pretty cool. So you see a lot of signatures of individuals who have been there and they have signed on it. So I got to sign on the wall inside the New York Stock Exchange. No, it was not graffiti. It's an actual, they give you a gold colored marker and then you sign it and then you get to keep the marker. It was pretty cool. So the New York Stock Exchange, I don't mean any disrespect, but it is a glorified garage sale. It is a place where you're going to be buying and selling. And one more comment before we talk about the Dow Jones Industrial Average today and we begin talking about the S&P 500 is when we think of the New York Stock Exchange and we think about all the different components in it and how it's grown. You know, if you have someone coming to your garage sale, and I think this is such a key component, and you've put your vase, let's just use the vase for the example, out for $10, and that vase at $10, nobody wants it, then you have to lower the price on it to get to the place of people say, yeah, I'm willing to buy that. Now, here's the question I want to ask you. Does that mean that that vase all of a sudden is not worth $10? Well, it's not worth $10 to the person purchasing it, but the quality of that vase is still there. It is just the perception of value. That's what's playing in here. So when we see the stock market go down and we see that different companies, boy, people didn't want to pay for them. They had to lower the price of the shares and we see that go down. Some of the things that we need to begin considering is did the value of the actual company, did the value change, or was it the perception of value? You know, when I put things out for a garage sale, I know what they're valuable to me on. But that vase may not be worth more than $5 to that person. If I feel that it has $10 value, then I'm not going to sell it for $5. I'm going to say, nope, 10 is my lowest because I believe it has value. I'm going to hold on to this vase because no one is paying me what I feel it's worth. Well, when I'm doing that, one of the things I'm doing, I'm kind of like drawing my line in the sand and saying, I'm not getting rid of it. Just because you're telling me that it doesn't seem like it has value is not my reason to get rid of it. When we go through downturns in the stock market, it's basically people saying, I don't feel like paying the $10 for that vase, so you need to come down. And some people say, oh, okay, well, then I guess I'll give it to you at $5. And they sell it. But other people say, no, I know it's worth $10. I know that the right people just aren't here to buy it, so I'm just going to hold it. And that's why many times you will hear a financial planner say, don't sell it, wait it through. I know that we'll sit down with our clients and we'll say, let's look what's going on in your portfolio. Now, the portfolios, when we're looking at our clients, they're up, everything, you know, we're trending in the right direction, but let's go back to just a few months ago when the market was down. Being able to sit down with a client and say, all right, I can see that your account's down. I'm pleased that we already have other accounts that have readily accessible cash that's not related to the market, so you're good there. But let's take a look to see what's going on in this account. And as we begin to look at it, we begin to see, no, these are quality companies. It is just that people are not willing to pay the price for them, and some people are selling them at that low price. We're just not willing to do it. We're going to hold on to it until they realize, nope, that $10 I'm charging for the vase is actually still a good deal, and I'm going to wait till the right person comes along. when we let the media and the news and the external noise that's out there dictate to us what we feel is valuable, what when we should sell, that's when it starts getting a little bit hairy. See, working with a financial planner, you know, being reading the books on how stocks works, when we can begin to take steps to take drama out of the investing, and we can break it down and literally say, this is what you have. We bought it at 10. We feel that it's still worth 10. In fact, we still feel that it's worth 12, and we believe that it's going to become more valuable in the future. We're just going to hold it. It doesn't matter that no one's coming to this sale and wanting to offer us full price. We're going to wait until the right people come who will pay full price. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? But a lot of times when we're in the drama, when we're in all the noise of everyone saying, oh my gosh, the market's down, it's going to go to nothing, then we panic and we sell when we shouldn't sell instead of holding on to it. So before we talk about the Dow Jones Industrial Average, I just wanted to make sure we pointed that out. The New York Stock Exchange, you don't invest directly into the stock exchange. It's just the floor. It's just the place where we can do our automated trading of one person trying to sell to another person, the other person wanting to buy it at that price. We look and come to an agreement and the sale is made and now you own it. When we go through downturns in the market, we literally are going to that place, the exchange, the garage sale, and saying, I'm scared. I'm willing to sell everything I have for pennies on the dollars. And there will be those who say, thank you very much, because you're willing to sell this cheap because you're afraid. I'm going to come in, I'm going to buy it. And then as soon as people stop being afraid and want this again, I'm going to charge double. And that's why we need to have a plan walking through it. That's why we need to understand what we're owning, right? What are the pieces we own, why we own it, and how it's part of our portfolio. So is there ever times that we would sell? Well, yeah, there's going to be times that we sell when we begin to realize, okay, my goals have changed, my needs have changed, I may need income right now. The economy where it's headed, not where it is right that moment, but where it's headed is changed. So maybe you might want to do some adjustments. I know that lately we've sat down with our clients, or I've been looking at the portfolios, you know, even without the clients there, because that's my role as a financial planner, to look to see, where is this economy going? To take note of the fact that, wow, as more and more businesses are realizing I can have employees work from home, that we can begin to say, well, wait a minute, then commercial real estate, is that going to be as high demand? And what are going to be the new waves of the new way people do business? Because this has changed how people will do business. I know I now have more clients from other states simply because they've become comfortable about using Zoom, right? So because they're comfortable with it, now they're willing to say, hey, I couldn't drive 5 hours to see you before, or 10 hours, but now I'll jump on a call with you. And now we're able to serve more people. Well, if that's impacting my business, I'm thinking, how many other businesses has it impacted? And so what do we need to add to our investment portfolio so that our clients are positioned to take advantage of it? So in other words, I'm starting to go to garage sales and I'm starting to say, you know, this thing that was popular way back then, or this thing that doesn't look like it'll ever be popular, I can see how that's going to be a trend in the future. I think I'll just pick it up now while it still doesn't have too much attention on it, or I'll pick it up now, you know, it might be out of favor. So all those things is what a financial planner does, and goes to the exchange and figures out this is what I want, and then puts in the order. So let's take a quick 60-second break. When we come back, I want to talk about the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the S&P 500. We got cut short last week. We were just at this point last week. We didn't get to get into it because it's not just important. All right, let me say it this way. It's not only important to understand, okay, the New York Stock Exchange is just where the trading is happening. Now we need to understand, well, then what role does the Dow Jones Industrial Average, what role does the S&P 500 play? Because it's constantly promoted, whether it's up or down, whether you should be happy or afraid. And if we can understand what it is, many people, at least many of my clients, have experienced positive portfolios, and yet they're seeing the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down for the day, and they're like, Crystal, I don't understand. How can my portfolio be good and yet the Dow Jones be down for the day? We'll be back in 60 seconds and we'll talk more about that. Although our nation is going back to work and the market is responding, how do you personally build your business, recover your investments, and restore positive cash flow? evaluating the financial impact of COVID with a certified financial planner from Crystal Clear Finances can help identify strengths and recognize stress fractures within your financial plan. These critical insights can provide guidance, and with the right adjustments, you can confidently experience personal financial recovery. Call Crystal Clear Finances at 518-433-7181 and experience confidence for every financial decision. And we're back with more Crystal Clear Finances. My name is Crystal Langdon, and it is such a pleasure to be here with you each and every Saturday morning, also in Saturday afternoons at 4. And of course, if you miss this program, if you've missed other programs and you're like, oh, I wish I had heard last week's, you can find us at our website, which is crystalclearfinances.com. Go under the radio tab, and we have uploaded our radio programs for you. I also want to encourage you to join us on Wednesdays at 5:30 for our Wealthy Wednesday. It is a 5 to 10 minute talk where we give financial insight to say, hey, have you considered this? And getting that financial gem just adds more confidence so that you know when you're making financial decisions, yeah, this is right. I know this is right. I know what I'm doing. That's what we want to provide, that peace of mind, that confidence that you are making the right decisions. Now, on Wednesday evenings at 5:30, live on Facebook under the Crystal Clear Finances Facebook page, if you don't make it, you got it. We record it. We upload it. You can go back into the last few months if you wanted to and watch these nuggets. We have had many people that have said, Crystal, this is changing my life. This gave me the insight that I needed. And here's the deal. Finances are not just about numbers. It's about the way we think. I truly believe we become wealthy in our mindset long before it shows up in our bank accounts. We need to know how we think, how we look at life, how we interact with it, the emotional intelligence of wealth, understanding how that works. So on Wealthy Wednesdays, we deal more with mindsets. We deal with the insights. We deal with the five fears that people have when it comes to actually transitioning into retirement. Did you know that's been proven that there are five fears? There's actually a phase that people get stuck in when it comes to retirement, that if they don't get out of that phase, then they show that they just shut down and they pass away. We want to make sure that all of our retirees successfully navigates each one of those phases. And those are that is information that we cover on our Wealthy Wednesdays. And of course, you can always give us a call here at Crystal Clear Finances. We'd love to sit down with you or do a Zoom. And our number here, if you'd like to connect with us, 518-433-7181, or you can connect through our website at crystalclearfinances.com. So let's get back to what we were talking about. We're talking about the stock market. And we've spent time talking about it last week, so I want to spend the rest of our time together talking about the Dow Jones Industrial Average, what it is, why does it matter, what's important to you about it, and what is the S&P 500? Because many times we have been trained that if this is down, then that must mean our portfolio's down. And au contraire, that is not necessarily true. So when we look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average, all that it is an index. It's an index. It's something that's monitoring 30 large publicly owned blue chip companies that are being traded at this big garage sale at the New York Stock Exchange, right? So they basically said, how do we know what's selling? How do we know what people are buying? We're going to pick 30 companies and we're going to watch those companies and we're going to see how much people are buying, how much people are saying, no, I don't want this anymore. I'm selling it. How much people are willing to pay for it. And based upon these 30 companies right here, we're going to be able to say, oh, the confidence is high in the United States or the confidence is low. That's when the market's up or the market's down based upon 30 companies. Now, let's talk about this. If you don't own one of those companies, your whatever stock that you own could be doing fabulous and nobody's paying attention to it. The brief example I used at the tail end of our program last week was if I was to have my garage sale and I had my $10 vases and I had empty Fruit Loop boxes, and that's what I was selling. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average was deciding that one of the things they wanted to monitor was the sale of vases. And they came to my garage sale and my Fruit Loop boxes were doing horrible. Nobody was buying empty Fruit Loop boxes, but everybody, I mean, in a matter of an hour, I sold out of all my vases. Well, then they would say, based on that, wow, the market is up. But let's pretend that the next week I said, oh, this is great. I'm going to do this again. And I had a whole bunch more vases that I put out there, and I had my empty Fruit Loop boxes because I still needed to get rid of them. And this week, though, my empty Fruit Loop boxes went through the roof. I made more money on the empty Fruit Loop boxes than I did on my $10 vases. Well, if they were still monitoring the vases, then they would say, oh, the market's down. She did so bad. Oh, this is horrible. Oh, this is not good news. But yet I could have made more money selling those empty Fruit Loop boxes and had a wonderful day. But because they weren't monitoring that, they were telling me I had a bad day. Does this make sense? So when we look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average, they're just looking at the 30 publicly owned blue chip companies. Now, I want to talk about blue chip companies in just a moment so that we got an understanding as far as what they really compose of, because a lot of times people say, oh, Crystal, I want blue chip in my portfolio. And they do say that to me. And I'm like, that's good, because you're going to have some in your portfolio. So we're on the right track here. But I want to talk a little bit about what companies they're monitoring. And this is as of the beginning of this past week. So as of July 20th, this is what was in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And the reason why I want to go through this, it is one of the most watched and most important stock market indexes in the world. So this gets so much attention. And yes, I know that it has a range of company, because I'm going to read them to you, has a range of company, but it does not cover every company that's out there, as you're going to see in just a moment. So we want to keep that in perspective. So let's look at this. I'm going to read this to you right now. So you have 3M's in there, American Express, no big surprise there, Apple, right? Boeing, Caterpillar, Chevron, Cisco, Coca-Cola, Dow Incorporated, you have Exxon's in there, Goldman Sachs, the Home Depot, you have IBM, Intel, Johnson & Johnson, you have JP Morgan Chase, McDonald's, Merck, Microsoft, Nike, Pfizer, Procter & Gamble, you have the Travelers Companies, you have United Health Group, United Technology, Verizon, Visa, Walmart, Walgreens Boots Alliance, and the Walt Disney Company. So understand, this is what they're monitoring. They're looking at this and determining if where the market is up and the market's down. Now, I do not want to in any way belittle this at all, because it is the most watched and most important stock market index in the world. But I also want to put this in perspective. Yes, you may have some of these holdings in your portfolio, but chances are there are a lot of them that you don't. That isn't a bad thing, but we just need to understand when they're doing a comparison, think of that garage sale, if they're only measuring the vases and they're leaving the other parts off, you can still be doing well in the other area and have them say the market's down. So I want to put that in perspective, especially as we've seen the market be so volatile. And I do believe that the market will be volatile, especially up until the election. This is an election year. If you've heard me say it, oh, how many elections now? I've been in business, been doing this for well over 20 something years. So every time you see an election year, we've seen it get volatile. And the scary part is, this is the most volatile I have ever seen in our country, especially on an election year. So I'm just praying that we get through this and that the things can calm down after the election. Now, one thing I do want to make mention of is, I know when we were talking about the Dow Jones Industrial Average, they talked about the fact that it's the blue chips, right? They're looking at the blue chip companies, and that people come in and say, hey, Crystal, can I have blue chips in my portfolio? And absolutely you can. But I want to talk about, well, what does that really mean? Well, when we're talking about a blue chip, and it's funny if you think about it, how the name the blue chip came about, it actually comes from the game of poker. All right, think about this. So the blue chip, and I didn't realize this, but the blue chip is the highest value chip that you have in the game of poker. And so when they look at this, it was used to describe, in the beginning, the blue chip companies was used to describe the highest stock price that was trading. So you had, and actually it was an individual, his name was Oliver Gingold. He was an employee at Dow Jones, and he saw that certain stocks kept trading at $200 or more per share. Now this is back in 1923, so put that in perspective. So since poker chips went, you know, bet in blue, white, and red chips, it said, oh, well, this is a blue chip. This is an expensive one. This has a high price tag. And so that's how the name came about. That doesn't necessarily mean that's how it is today, but I just thought, you know, interesting, useless fact of knowledge there. But that's how the blue chip got its name originally. But what we look at the blue chip now, if we had to describe it, and on our my certified financial planner designation, when I took my CFP test, you definitely needed to have the accurate description of a blue chip stock. But a blue chip is a nationally recognized, it's well-established, and financially sound company. Now, I'm going to put a little caveat in there because that's the technical term of it. That doesn't necessarily mean it is, and we'll go back to that in a moment. Blue chips generally, and that's a good way to say it, sell high quality, widely accepted products and services, and they have a reputation to weather the downturns and operate profitable even when we're going through downturns in the markets. And that's why individuals like doing blue chips, because it's usually your conservative ones that say, hey, I want to buy some type of company, stock in some type of company that's established, that's stable, that's well recognized. I know they have enough resources, they're going to do good. Despite a pandemic, they're going to do good once we recover. And so they are seen as safer investments because of their proven track record. But we know that that is not always true, right? There have been blue chip companies that have not done well. I mean, you think about the bankruptcies of General Motors was a blue chip company, Lehman Brothers. You think about other situations where these blue chip companies, we thought, okay, that's great. They didn't fare well. So that again, speak with your financial planner, do your homework. It's not enough. And that's why I know compliance always says that we have to say past performance is not an indicator of future performance. And sometimes the things that compliance makes you say, it's just annoying, right? It's overkill. That is not overkill. That is a true statement. We can look at the past and say, okay, this makes sense. But you also want to look at, well, what surroundings were they in? What environment? What were the demands of the economy? Because we need to be very careful moving forward, not to be afraid, no drama, but just to be alert. That's a better one. We need to be alert going forward to look at these blue chip companies. How are they going to exist in this new world that's happening, in this new economy where people are going to be working from home? I seriously doubt we will ever be to the place where all the businesses say you got to work from in the office and very few are allowed to work from home. That used to be the coveted role. Oh, you get to work from home? And now it's like, you get to work in the office? So we have to understand that blue chip companies, they do feel this. Now, those who have reserves and those who pay nice dividends, that's really good. But we want to be alert. So there's so much more to looking at the investment you're going to choose than just, is it a blue chip? Yes, we want to see if it's a blue chip. Yes, we want to look to see if it is dividend paying. And yes, it can be part of a core holding, but we also want to be aware. And I just want to kind of bring it to close on this. I know we didn't get to the S&P 500. We'll do another program on that. But it's important that while we want to look and have established companies, I'm going to go back to that garage sale example. While I want to have my $10 vases that seem like they're always in demand, I'm always going to look for those empty cardboard Fruit Loop boxes because there's opportunity outside of the blue chip. There's things that, you know what, may not be Fruit Loop boxes. Maybe that's a poor example, but there are things that are up and coming that right now don't have a lot of favor on them. But if you look where they're headed, if you understand where the economy is going, oh, they can be a valuable piece to complement what you have with your core portfolio. Well, I'm looking at the time and realizing, yes, yet again, we are at the end of our time together. I want to thank you that you join me each and every week and invite you to tune into our Facebook Lives on Wednesday. Wednesday at the Crystal Clear Finances Facebook page. Of course, you can reach out and schedule a free initial consultation or a confidence call to make sure that you, in just 15 minutes, can know, am I headed in the right direction for retirement? If you're interested, give us a call at 518-433-7181, or you can find us online at crystalclearfinances.com. So join us again next week as we continue to provide financial clarity so that you can have confidence for every financial decision.
Have confidence facing financial decisions. Learn the steps that are right for you. Visit crystalclearfinances.com or call 518-433-7181 today and schedule a free initial conversation. Discover the strategy that is right for you and reach your financial goals. Crystal Langdon is a certified financial planner, investment advisor, qualified kingdom advisor, and a member of the Christian Financial Planner Network. Tune in next Saturday morning for more Crystal Clear Finances. Investment advisory services are offered through Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Alpha Star and Crystal Clear Finances Incorporated are independent entities. The information provided is for educational purposes only and is not intended as investment advice for anyone. All information discussed is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. The opinions expressed are subject to change without notice and do not constitute financial, legal, or tax advice. Please consult your financial professional before executing any financial strategy.